Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry! These July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
CBS, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. The VA, the challenge of the VA these many decades. I welcome Francis Rose, the host of FedGov Today. Francis and I have been working together on the VA back to the Obama administration and before. The VA has been a challenge for all presidents since the beginning of the 20th century. But now, VA meets AI. Francis, a very good evening to you. Francis has a podcast twice a week, talking with our federal government and its assistants in the private sector, and then a TV show on Sunday morning, Channel 7 in the nation's capital, talking to professionals. This time we're talking to AI professionals and VA working with AI, one of the first agencies to integrate, to introduce AI into the federal government. It's a treat, Francis, but it's filled with mysteries. So good evening to you. Your conversation with Evan Carey, Deputy Director for AI Networks at the National Artificial Intelligence Institute. The big question I got from Evan, who's a clear speaker, is, do I trust this? Do I trust this algorithm? What do I do with it now that I trust it, or I don't trust it? Do I have to work with it? How to implement trust? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. Yeah, that's one of the main missions that the National AI Institute inside VA is undertaking right now, because the most of the folks inside VA that will be using artificial intelligence tools are not technology professionals, they're healthcare professionals. And so since they're not IT people by trade and by training, the IT people and the AI people want to make very sure that those folks are comfortable not only using artificial intelligence tools themselves, but explaining them to their patients so that the patient can also be comfortable that information is being collected in a way that respects privacy and that is going to avoid biases as much as possible. Number of factors that Evan and others talked about regarding trustworthy AI, but that's the term that they're using to describe what they're going for as they're employing artificial intelligence tools across the Veterans Health Administration in particular, but more broadly, the Department of Veterans Affairs as a whole.
Translational work. What does that mean, Francis? Evan used that term repeatedly.
Yeah, that's a term that they use inside VA to describe the way that the AI tools provide information to people and to give the information that, as I said, the healthcare providers and the patients need to be able to understand what the AI is doing. Essentially, what they're trying to do is they're trying to show these folks without showing them the intricacies of the algorithms, how those algorithms work, not because they want to hide the intricacies of the algorithms, but because most people, quite frankly, don't really care how they work. They just want to understand that they do work and that the results that those algorithms provide are results that are going to deliver better care for the vets and easier, more proficient care for the healthcare providers.
Now, Evan was charming, saying, I'm going to nerd out on this. He sees himself as a total geek, as a man who spends his time with algos, and he's aware of the fact that we don't live with algorithms all the time. So I got this sense, you know, reading between the lines, it's always good for your interviews. I'm thinking, Francis just asked a good question, but there's some hesitation. What am I hearing? I think there's resistance. What do you think, Francis?
Resistance to the deployment of artificial intelligence. Yes, there's a lot of resistance to that across the federal government. The same resistance that we see from folks in the private sector. You know, the writer's strike in SAG-AFTRA the Writers Guild, revolved around that entire concept. The writers don't trust artificial intelligence, that it won't replace them. There are folks in the federal government who think the same thing, the same as there are folks in the private sector, especially the banking industry, that are worried that a lot of the tasks they perform will be made redundant or no longer necessary, obsolete by artificial intelligence. And so, yes, there is hesitancy. There is downright apprehension about the efficacy of the tools and the ethics of the tools and a lot of things. And that's what people like Evan and others inside VA, and there are artificial intelligence practitioners all across the government and all the federal agencies. They're all working toward the same goal, which is to help folks understand that these are tools to help you do your job, not to replace you.
You also spoke with Dr. Andrew Barkowski, who's fascinating, founding chief of the Artificial Intelligence Service at the James A. Haley Veterans Hospital, Tampa, Florida. And he was vivid in his example of what needs to be done. Said you go, you see a PA, you go, you see a physician. You talk to them, but they're facing a computer screen tapping in the data. He said, I didn't become a doctor in order to be a keyboard slave. It's a fascinating way to approach this. So the data input is now overwhelming the physicians. That's resistance too, Francis.
Yeah, but that's resistance from the positive. And those are the kinds of cases that Dr. Borkowski and others believe will turn the tide of resistance that we talked about a second ago. If I can face my patient instead of my computer, and I can talk to that patient, and my AI bot can record the conversation and provide a transcript. If I can talk to that AI bot the same way that, say, I talk to Siri on my iPhone, ask it to do things or ask it to write things down and so on, then that becomes a pretty compelling use case to show a healthcare provider, this is why this is going to help you. This is going to ultimately benefit you and benefit your patients. And this is why you should start to work with these tools. This is why you should become aware of the potential that exists here.
This is happening right now. That's the sense I got. We're at the front lines of this.
Yes.
So Dr. Borkowski had a list of questions to ask AI. The first is, does it help the vet? That's a very good question. I don't have the answer. So let's go to number two. Is it safe? Who knows? Three, is it explainable? There's what we're trying to do. We're trying to explain what the AI system can do for the vet. All of a sudden, you become a number. Or you become a data a technician takes you and makes you into data. That's not holding a patient's hand.
Yeah, it's ultimately, those are the things that drive what the VA says it wants to do in every area of its operation, not just in AI. It's applying those concepts to artificial intelligence. But every person that I've ever talked to that works for the VA, sometimes the outcomes are not good. And you and I have talked about those at length over the past decade or longer. But ultimately, each person that I've ever spoken to says, we exist to serve the veteran. We exist to make the veteran's life better and to deliver for the vet what he or she was promised when they signed up to serve the nation. They are all extremely clear on exactly what their mission is. And that's why that's number one on that list of priorities about the things that Dr. Borkowski and others inside VA say they should be asking about artificial intelligence solutions. That's why that's at the top of the list.
And the question, who's accountable if something goes wrong? There's data drift. Data drift means that you can't absolutely be certain each time that you're getting good information. Who's accountable? The doctor didn't have an answer.
Well, and that's one of the things that they're trying to determine. Like, is there broadly an attribution that one can make, or is it dependent on the source of the data? Is it dependent on the type of the data? Is it dependent on, they're trying to evaluate what all the factors might even be before you can then assign accountability to one of those factors and through that factor then to a human being.
Final question, Francis. what we're applying this to the Veterans Administration, Veterans Affairs. Is it happening at all the agencies in the federal government? AI?
Yes. Yes. Every federal agency has some type of use case or some type of a prototype or something in development using artificial intelligence. Yes, it's permeating the entire government. And that's not surprising because it's permeating every private sector business, too. People are talking about it in all different forms. What's striking to me is that this is the first major technology in the 17 years or longer that I've been covering the federal government where people are very deliberately saying, and then from my observation, acting upon the idea that they're not just going out to try to find some AI and then apply it to some problem that they don't know what it is. They're thinking about what is the problem we're trying to solve first, and they're open to the possibility that artificial intelligence solutions may help them deliver on fixing those problems that they're trying to fix, John.
Francis Rose, he is the host of FedGovToday.com. It's a very attractive website. You can see all the information about Evan Carey and Dr. Perkowski and others twice a week on the podcast, Sunday morning on Channel 7 in the nation's capital. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.